It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate you. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism is not about free stuff. That's just the carrot to get you to vote for that. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a... In the old days, it used to be weapon, but now it's policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And I want to welcome all of you. I so appreciate each of you listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with as producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Jen, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy day after Sunday, day before Tuesday, Steve.
Yeah, on the pre-call, though, you said, would you say happy Monday morning? And I want to say science, follow the science. Science has yet to prove that there is such a thing.
It's better than the alternative, Steve.
Okay. You got me there.
Okay. And really excited to add Jen Hewlin to the team. She's going to be our partnership liaison, and just thrilled about that. And so you'll hear more from her. We're going to get her on the show here, Steve, one of these days, very soon.
We better. I mean, she's like the little sister I never wanted, but I want to hear from her. I want to know that she's part of this. And certainly she has the skills and the talents to do it.
Oh, absolutely. So we're really excited about that. And Brad Beck is in studio. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. And you know Jen Hewlin well.
I do. Jen's just a gem. I love her. And all the people that you have that support you are great people. But it's good to be here this morning.
It's great to have you here as well.
Yeah.
Monday and Christmas is right around the corner. Can
it
you
is.
Believe
Merry
it?
Christmas to you and
Merry
your family
Christmas.
And
yes.
to Steve and everybody else here. It's awesome. Great time of year, and it's a time of year of festivals, but also of friendship and family and giving, and I've always enjoyed that.
I love it, and I grew up Methodist, and then I belonged to a Lutheran church, and I've been going to a Catholic church, and I hadn't really thought about the liturgical calendar. And I was always in this mad dash to have everything ready for Christmas. But we're actually in Advent. And then Christmas begins Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I got to get that right. And that runs for the 12 days of Christmas. I had never connected all that in my mind.
Well,
as a Jewish kid, had you.
Exactly. Think about, you know, we had Hanukkah early this year. And it's more of an Americanized holiday, really, because it was something that was brought in because the Jewish kids didn't have Christmas when the immigrants came here at the turn of the last century. And so it was kind of a way to have a fall holiday and be included in the American idea.
Mm-hmm.
But ours is based on a lunar calendar, and we love celebrating and lighting the candles. And, it's an important holiday, but it's not the same type of holiday. It's the story of freedom and lights mm-hmm. and overcoming adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great time of year, though. There's the Indian people have the Diwali festival, their festival of lights. And, you know, it's just different cultures. We all get to celebrate. And one being better than the other, I don't know. But it's all just fun to be a part of.
Well, it is. And I love this time of year. I was thinking about you. You grew up in Southern California.
I did.
Went for a walk yesterday. I thought, this is what Brad means. I was looking at Christmas lights. They were coming on as I was coming home. I'm like, this must be Brad in California at Christmas time because it was so balmy.
Well, it's funny because one of my daughters lives in Southern California still, she said, oh, Daddy, it's so cold. It got down to 50. And I just kind of laughed. I said, that's a great day,
here
in Colorado. But we've been fortunate. The weather's fabulous. And it's just great to be alive and be in Colorado.
Absolutely. There's a lot of blessings to be grateful for here. I wanted to talk about Liberty Toastmasters just a little bit. Liberty Denver had our meeting on Saturday. And Liberty Denver meets at the Independence Institute the first and third Saturdays, except we won't meet in January on the first Saturday because it's January 1. But Liberty North meets on the second and fourth Saturdays in Longmont. And Brad, I think there were seven of us that went out for lunch afterwards, and we really are becoming friends. We don't agree on everything, but we are becoming friends. And I was thinking about, as we were moving into this election cycle, so many candidates, and they have their hearts in the right place. But I think a lot of people don't think that they need to improve on their speaking skills. All of us can improve on that. But if you are considering running for office or helping somebody, Liberty Toastmasters would be a super good idea.
Well, as I tell people, I love to suggest to people to get that skill set, really honed in, whether you're going to be at a regular Toastmasters. The difference with the Liberty Club is we take those timeless principles of leaders in action, and we really infuse in on the ideas of the founders, the founding documents, and the ideas and principles that make it so important to understand who we are as Americans.
And it's so important to articulate that, even if you're not going to run for office. I was just thinking about coming into the holidays here, different people that I'll be meeting, and what those conversations might be, because everything is so politicized right now. And so I was kind of working this morning through my thoughts on how I might address a conversation that might come up. And the evaluation component of Liberty Toastmasters is so important. Explain that, please.
Well, we give critical feedback, but we do it in a way that is encouraging. We always talk and give praise first of all the things that the person may do well in their presentation. It could be their eye contact, their body language. It could be the alliteration that they use in their speech. And then we offer one or two things that they may consider doing the next time differently or in a way that makes it more compelling or engaging. And then we offer praise at the end. We call that a sandwich mm-hmm. technique. Now, if you're more experienced, you may have more of the feedback and less of the praise, but it really helps the individual understand not so much what they didn't say or the content, but how they delivered the speech or how they delivered the presentation that got the audience engaged. And that's really the difference, to get to the heart, eventually to the head.
Well, and when I was on City Council, 2012 to 2016 in Lone Tree, I really was glad that I had that evaluation component of Liberty Toastmasters, because when somebody would come to make public comment, or it might be a presenter, a staff member, or interested party with the city, it was a good way to be able to give feedback as well, instead of just rubber stamping things, to have that dialogue, which I think that really goes back to founding fatherish. I was talking to Alan Thomas the other day, and Jefferson and Hamilton looked at things very differently. Ultimately, I think they wanted the same goal, generally, freedom, liberty, those kinds of things, but they had different ideas on how to get there. And so they would have to have dialogue with that, not just them, but all of them that were coming, working on the founding documents.
Well, let's face it, nobody likes to be critiqued. But if you, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote this article, Digging for Truth, is when you're looking for truth, you're trying to get your hands around an idea or a concept. And so you should be open to many ideas, and then you can come to your own conclusion. But the beautiful part about critique is people will give you their sense of something that comes from a perspective you may not be even aware of. And that's the beautiful part about it. So you've got to be open, number one. But it's not the kind of criticism that is going to be offensive. It's going to be in the vein of being helpful.
And it's a great tool for life, too.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And
so,
if you're married. Or in a relationship.
True. We're going to be talking about this op-ed that we'll roll out this weekend that you've written, Digging for Truth, which is so important today in 2021, 2022 America. And so since we are going to be talking about truth, I was looking for truth quotes. And this is unknown. And Steve, I want to get your feedback on this as well. It says, the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. So your thoughts first, Brad.
Well, you know, you really have to listen to your own, I think, mind, your own heart, and get all the information you can and say, okay, where is the truth in this? Mm-hmm. And am I being critical or am I being open? And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And you can have a reactionary an opinion on something. But I think truth takes time. It doesn't happen immediately.
And that's why in soundbite world, it's really difficult.
It is.
Steve, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, Brad just kind of took my breath away there. And we said, you got to listen to your own mind. And I almost blurted out, wow, how un-American. In this day and age, I need to clarify that. But, you know, when I read that, I looked ahead earlier and I saw what the quote was going to be. I started thinking something else in my mind. I went back to this, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Now, who's credited with saying that?
I think Goebbels? It was Goebbels.
Vladimir Lenin.
Lenin. Okay.
And I want to say, why would he say something like that?
Can you find that other Lenin quote about our children? I think Patty said that because I want to talk about that in the next segment as well.
Let me see if I can find it.
See if you can find it. Okay, so you mentioned the truth and how difficult it is to get to that. And as you know, Patty and I came out hard against this Prop 119, the new marijuana tax for the children. And it's not what we found is it's not just the question that's on the ballot, but there was a 14-page document that backed up what that was going to be. James Madison, I think it was Madison, said that our laws, our initiatives, all these, they shouldn't be so voluminous that people can't read them. The fact that Congress is passing these 1,000-page bills that they have not read, that they don't know what's in it. For this last one, this kill switch on the cars, we had Lauren Fix on, who's the car coach, national automotive expert. It's not about drunk driving. It's about controlling where you go. They'll listen to you while you're in your car. If they decide they, and I'm not quite sure who they is, if they, whoever has control of the switch, decides that you shouldn't be driving, they can stop your car.
Right.
It's terrifying.
Well, so much of the legislation is done that, you know, you need lawyers to understand it. And I'm questioning why. If the common person can't pick up a piece of paper and understand it, or at least ask one or two questions for clarification, why do we have? We have all the laws we need.
Yes.
We don't need more laws. In fact, when I've had friends run for office, my request always is, if you want my vote, repeal some things.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of what's in our legislative statutes. Because half of them, I probably break 3 or 4 or 5 laws a day I'm not even aware of.
You just said that on the air, you know.
I know. And but
we
so
all do
you and everybody in this country now. I mean, it's just amazing that is where have been and where we're heading.
Mm-hmm.
And I always question, okay, the legislators each have, I believe, 3 opportunities to put some kind of legislation down at the Capitol. And that season is coming upon us. Why don't they start repealing things?
Right.
And especially more modern things? You know, the folks that brought us to the dance, the people that founded this state, they were pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it to where the common man could understand. And that's one of the beautiful things about Toastmasters is you have the opportunity in table topics to be able to learn how to give a 2 to 3 minute speech. So you can go down to the Capitol or you can go down to your PTA meeting or your town hall meeting and speak and connect with those people who are your elected representatives.
And that is another, again, a great skill from Liberty Toastmasters. And each one of us, I really think each one of us needs to adopt some governmental agency and watch them exactly. and show up.
Yeah.
I wanted to, on this lie thing, though, I mentioned Prop 119. The Wednesday before the election, there was something that came out. It says Colorado Conservatives Ballot Initiative Voter Guide. And it said conservatives are voting yes on, and then it had 78, 119, 120. But when I went to Proposition 119, it said funding school choice with marijuana taxes. And it says it's the largest expansion of school choice in the U.S. in a decade, which is why liberal career politicians are opposing it. I looked at that, Brad, and that is a lie. And there's two lies right there. First of all, if you went to the endorsement page, there were liberal politicians that were supporting it, but there were also Republicans that were supporting it. So that was a mistruth there. But we also read the bill, and it specifically said in there that none of the money could be used for school tuition. And so there was no school choice in there. And that is very frustrating. I'm tired. I'm tired of not being told the truth. And fortunately, that went down. But that was a lie. And that goes back to our quote for today, the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And that's unknown. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about Joe Manchin, because I know you've got some thoughts on that. And so does Steve. So we will be right back. Before we do that, though, Hooters restaurants, they have lunch specials. And I was over there for lunch the other day, and they have some of the best fish and chips that I've had. And it's only $10. They're keeping the line on that. But they have all kinds of specials, $8 specials, $9 specials, and $10 specials. So be sure and check out all of my sponsors. I highly recommend all of them. They're at KimMunson.com. All of Hooters specials are there. And we're going to go to break. Brad Beck's in studio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson. MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Brad Beck, during break, you said something that I think is very important regarding, I just mentioned this this text that went out, Colorado Conservatives in favor of Prop 119. You had a really important point.
Well, you said this was a conservative slate or conservative viewpoint, and yet you just revealed that there was many things that weren't so conservative about it. And so those labels that people put on things, conservative or leftist or liberal or Republican or Democrat, I think we have to be aware of that. And we have to make sure that we don't just look at the soundbite or say, oh, that says this and I'm going to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Read the darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Read both sides. Read mm-hmm. all sides. And then come up with your own conclusion, because I think so many people use, as you said in the quote, the lies to attract us and say, okay, that goes along with my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get in these silos of thought, and then we're not open to the ideas of maybe there's a kernel of truth here and a kernel of truth there, and you have to put the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is truth out there. The question is, putting a label on something is done for a purpose. And especially in today's media, they will say, this is a conservative viewpoint. According to who?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think we have to be a little wiser on and break apart that idea of labeling things for efficiency
mm-hmm.
and really dig into things deeper. In this world, there's too many sound bites because people are expedient. They don't have the time, or they don't take the time mm-hmm. or make the time. And I think that's part of where we're at today with our news and our news cycle, because everything's got to be fresh and it's got to be the latest thing. And it's like, well, slow down a little bit and take the time to really dig into an idea or an issue, because they're today affecting us all. You mentioned Joe Manchin. Thank goodness for Joe Manchin. Now, there's not a lot of things that I would say that about with a lot of his public policy, but he had a reasoned approach, and he saw that his constituents would be against this Build Back Better at trillions of dollars, not just the $2 trillion or $3 trillion, but, I mean, over 10 years, it would have been in excess of $5 or $6 trillion. Mm-hmm. That's inconceivable.
It is inconceivable, and ultimately, we talk about sustainability all the time, about sustainable energy, sustainable this, sustainable that. This is not a sustainable economy if this kind of stuff is passed. And this is the moniker for the World Economic Forum. And they have come out and said their goal by 2030 is that everyday people will own nothing. But this is from the New York Post. And it said that the bill coerces workers to join unions. It imposes racial preferences on every facet of life, redistributes money from workers to takers. In addition, let's see, I think that it said that it also takes more and more control of our children. It says House Speaker claims that Build Back Better is about the children and securing their future. And then this author, Betsy McCaughey, said, "Truth is, the bill screws our children and grandchildren. It adds hundreds of billions of dollars to the federal debt, forcing the next generations to pay interest and principal on what we've borrowed instead of taking care of themselves." And there is something immoral, Brad Beck, about saddling next generations with debt that they didn't have any voice in.
Well, you know, one of the things I struggle with, and I'm not quite 65 years old yet. I'm getting there. I'm getting closer. But do I want to take Social Security? So I supposedly paid into it, but it's a Ponzi game. It's always been a Ponzi scheme. And so do I want to saddle my grandchildren and my posterity with this debt? And people say, well, yeah, but they took it out of my paycheck. Well, exactly, but it's not yours. It was to pay for those who came before you. Mm-hmm. And so the question comes in is, do I need Social Security and Medicare? I mean, they make it almost impossible. And I've been exploring different ways to go around that so I don't have to participate in it. And I have to tell you, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. There is a silent thief out there called inflation, and our government has created it. If they would back off and leave people to make their own decisions and to really look after themselves. It's our personal responsibility to take care of ourselves when we retire. And so I think this is something that we all have to struggle with and really look at and say, when I turn 65, do I just take the money and run?
I know.
And that's something I think that is it needs to be more soul searching.
Well, and a couple of things regarding Social Security, because we have paid into it. It has become a Ponzi scheme. And it's not going to be sustainable, because our generation actually didn't have as many children, and expecting the next generation to pay for that as baby boomers live longer. And so it's very difficult. But I want to I'm going to jump over here in just a minute to Marlon Kirsch, because he is an expert in the Medicare field. Kirsch Insurance Group can actually help you navigate that. And like you say, I mean, they make it very difficult to have other alternatives. And that's why you would need to have somebody like Marlon and Danielle and the whole team over at Kirsch Insurance Group on your side of the table, because it's very complicated. Government makes it very complicated. And fortunately, we have entrepreneurs like Marlon who work with a lot of different brokers out there to try to help you find the plan that works best for you. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Kim. How are you today?
I'm good. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Just a few days away.
I can't believe it. But and 2022 is right around the corner. And Brad Beck and I were talking about Social Security and Medicare. And it's important to have you help people navigate this, because it's very, very complicated. And I wanted to ask you about Advantage plans today.
Right. Advantage plans is just it's in lieu of original Medicare, and it's a comprehensive health care plan that many people use.
Okay. And so it's in lieu of Medicare. I always thought it was, I've heard Medicare Advantage plan, so I thought that it was a Medicare plan.
Well, it is a Medicare plan, but it's when I say in lieu of Medicare, I mean it's in lieu of original Medicare.
Okay.
Okay. So sometimes people will stay on original Medicare, or people will buy Advantage plans for their health care.
Okay.
Now, what's coming up now is another enrollment period for Medicare from January 1st through March 30th. So between that time frame, anyone on an Advantage plan is able to change their Advantage plan during that open enrollment period.
Okay, they can only do it once, though, right, during that time?
They can only do it one time. That is correct. But I will tell you that people who are on an Advantage plan should do this if they haven't already done this during the annual enrollment period, because there are some wonderful plans out there for 2022 where some of them will even pay their Part B premium. And there's some plans out there that have no copay for seeing a specialist. And again, these are new products that if people didn't take the initiative during the annual enrollment period, which was the October to December open enrollment, this is another opportunity for them to look at a different plan, a different Advantage plan. And again, if people haven't already done that, I would encourage them to do it, because there's some really, really good plans out there.
Okay, and what is the best way for people to reach you, Marlon?
Best way to reach me is they can go to our website. It's iKirsch, KIRSCH.com. And they can contact us. We'd be more than happy to talk to them about some of the features of the new plans. And I think in many cases, it would be worth their time.
I think no harm, no foul. There's no cost if they call you, right?
There is no cost. That is correct, Kim.
Okay. So I highly recommend prepare for 2022. Knowledge is power. And Marlon, Danielle, the whole team at Kirsch Insurance Group can help you. Again, that website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Marlon, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Kim, thank you very, very much. You have a good holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Brad Beck.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Brad, before we get into talking about digging for the truth, there's actually a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, Joe Manchin, we should probably set this up because I think we assume everybody, you know, was looking at this all weekend and they may not have been. And that is this $1 trillion bill, Biden's Build Back Better. And it should strike terror in our hearts when we realize that that's the moniker for the World Economic Forum and all these elitists that do not care about everyday hardworking people. They do not. They want to take down the American idea. And here you have a bill that has that name on it. But this trillion-dollar bill, first of all, they weren't honest of what the real cost is going to be over time. It's a give back to unions for all that they've done for the Democrat Party. It tries to take more control of our kids. And I actually had read a piece, I thought it was this piece, but it said that it will create trillions of dollars of debt. It'll decrease the GDP by 0.5%, and I think 125,000 jobs would be lost, and at least that. And I just can't understand how this would be presented, and there would even be a question on whether or not it would be passed. Now, Steve said that he saw on the headlines that Pelosi's going to try to figure out how to do a runaround on Manchin. But Manchin, Democrat senator from West Virginia, they needed him to get this passed. He said he's not going to pass it. I laud him as an American on that, but I thought we should set that up just a little bit more for people.
Well, if we're going to put a label on Joe Manchin, it would be probably the traditional blue dog Democrat, mm-hmm. which means that he had a conservative streak in him on some things, because those are the constituents that he represents. And those are traditional, hardworking, blue-collar individuals. West Virginia is a coal mining state, and we've decimated that industry. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the Green New Deal, the people left behind are going to be those who are in his district. So they saw right through this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was getting a lot more pressure from his constituents than he was from his people in mm-hmm. Congress in the swamp. But that being said, one of the things I see that you read your article from the New York Post. Thank goodness you did. Because we have to know what the opposition is doing. Mm-hmm. And so the New York Post, the Washington Post, the New York mm-hmm. Times, as heinous as they are because their opinion is on the front page, not on the opinion page, we need to read them. The left doesn't read what the right does. So we know the argument from both sides, as where the left only has their opinion, mm-hmm. they have their silo, and then that's what they speak about. They have no idea what most of, quote, flyover country is all about. Right. The people that live in the majority of the land that is America. And so you have the coast, you have your elitist. But when I go back and visit family in California, or when I go to the East Coast, there's regular Americans in those areas too. Mm-hmm. They just don't pop up all the time, or they move with their feet. I mean, I forget the senator or representative who said, you know, one of these islands, there's going to be so many people on one side of the island, it's going to tip over, right?
Right.
I mean, it seems like...
That was a Democrat. I just have
right,
to...
Right. Florida is going to tip over the rest of the United States, because everybody moved to Florida and Texas and... Freedom states, Tennessee, mm-hmm. you know, states where people who are running those areas trust the people to make the best decision. Kristi Noem up in mm-hmm. South Dakota. Those are the places where people are going because they realize they have freedom to make a choice. And after all, isn't that what our friends on the left always say? We want more choice. Okay, fine. Then don't run my life. I won't run mm-hmm. yours. Have mm-hmm. respect. Have self-restraint. Understand that my choices are going to be different than yours. Mm-hmm. Freedom's a messy business, as our friend Laura Carnell says all the time. And you're going to make decisions that maybe are not the best for you, mm-hmm. but they're your decisions. And you have to deal with the consequences one way or another. That's what business people do all the time. They take risk. And they may not make the right decisions, but they make a decision and then they alter their course as they go through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Public speaking the same way. My wife will tell me all the time, I don't think I would have said that in public, Brad. And usually she's right. But we make choices and we learn from those mistakes, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And so you change course. But the point being that you are using research that shows somebody's different opinion. And I think that's rich. I think we need to do more of that to understand the full issue.
Well, Brad, there has been a real movement to squash down dialogue. And you hear this word all the time, our democracy is at risk. This is a constitutional republic. So anytime somebody says our democracy is at risk, I have a big question mark, because a democracy is basically mob rule. 51% gets to say what everybody, or the other 49 does. But what, and again, this 4 years that I spent on city council was so fascinating. Because I ran across many people that had R's behind their names.
I assumed R behind their name meant that they believed in limited government, individual freedom, all those kinds of things. I realized that there's a lot of R's and a lot of D's that have the same goal. They want to control people's lives. They just think they have a better idea on how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a rather eye-opening for me. The other thing that I saw that was so interesting was down at Dr. Cog, the Denver Regional Council of Governments, and that has PBIs on it. It has politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, that I'd gone to some of their meetings, and they had up on their meeting board, video board there, that they would be working towards a unanimous opinion on something, and that any of the discussion that was held there was to remain in the room. And I was very uncomfortable with that. I thought, now they're representatives of the people. They're living off the people. But yet, unanimous vote. So it started to really tap down any kind of a dissenting conversation. And this idea that it had to be unanimous, I thought, was very concerning. Same thing happened when I was on city council. I actually voted no about 20% of the time, because I felt if it was not the proper role of government, if it was not a good use of funds, or it did not represent the people, if it went against this vision of all people are created equal with rights from God, of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, I'd vote no. Only 20% of the time. But they wanted unanimous. And I remember that I was going to, and the other thing is out of courtesy, I would say, you know, I'm very uncomfortable with this. Well, instead of having a dialogue, what the mayor would do is he'd bring in somebody to try to convince me. And so this was on an ordinance that was every municipality has to have a district where you can have, I don't know what you would call it, you know, like sexual businesses, like, you know, that might have,
Clubs or
yeah,
lingerie.
Strip clubs, lingerie, yeah, those kinds of okay. things. So every municipality, it's a Supreme Court rule, every municipality has to have that. And so Lone Tree was going to put that in place. But they were going to carve out that the mall did not have to adhere to that ordinance. And the reason was because there was a store that had a whole bunch of different products, but that it did have one product that had sexual devices with it. And they wanted to be that carved out so that that store could be in business. And I said, it's not fair that everybody else has to adhere to this, but you're going to carve the mall out. And I kid you not, they brought in an attorney that they tried to convince me to get to a unanimous vote, which I'm like, you're going to get your 4-1 vote. It doesn't matter. And I was in the broom closet with this attorney for the 30 minutes before the council meeting. They were trying to convince me to get a unanimous vote. And I thought, that is so odd. That is not the American idea.
No, they're trying to say, well, we had everybody on board. And because of that, you should be on board, too.
Mm-hmm.
Your elected representatives are all saying, yes, you should, too. I remember I was on a industry board as well, something similar to where they wanted to do more diversity and equity and inclusion. And I was no from the beginning, although I listened, because I had heard, I had read that when you do and have a diversity, equity, and inclusion clause in there, you're not working on merit. You're working on hitting quotas.
Uh-huh.
And so I would keep asking the question, why are we doing this? Who is pushing this? Why is this important to our industry? And granted, we all want different opinions, but all of a sudden we had to do a unanimous vote, and I kept saying no. And in fact, I was the secretary of the organization. Normally you didn't put who voted against the or was opposed to mm-hmm. a certain piece of information or legislation within the organization. And I insisted my name was on there as a no vote mm-hmm. because I saw where this was going. And it was to get in line with all what's happening now, to be woke. And I said, I'm not going to do this. And I talked to everybody individually, and I talked to everybody overtly in the meetings. And it said, you know what, I'm just not going along with this. Yeah, I felt a little pressure, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to stand up and say, no, not enough. That's not our role. Mm-hmm. We're here as a organization for the industry. Why are we playing this game? It serves no purpose other to check the woke box.
Mm-hmm. And we can take this and circle this back to Joe Manchin. Can you imagine the pressure that he had?
Yeah.
Several months ago, we reported that Biden had appointed his wife to a very prestigious, I think it was a nonprofit or some either an NGO, but something that Biden could appoint her to with, I think, a very healthy salary. And so the pressure for Manchin on this had to be so significant. I thank him for standing in the way of this, and I'm disappointed that they're going to try to do an end run around him.
Well, they'll always do an end run, and they'll always bring up new legislation. And we have to be vigilant. We can't celebrate and go, it's done. No, it's never done. And that's the one thing that leftists understand is it's never done. They are always on the move. And so if you are a freedom-loving individual, whatever flavor that you pick, you have to be vigilant. You have to be involved, and you have to have the ability to connect with people so you can have a reasoned argument. You have to use the faculty of the mind and really get to the people's underlying understanding of things mm-hmm. so they will follow along with you and say, yeah, that makes sense to me. And it takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, and it's like going to the Liberty Toastmasters. It's practice and practice and practice. And unless you do that, you feel like it's just too much out there, so I'm not going to do anything. Or I'm going to elect somebody to do that. Well, if we leave it to our elected officials or the other PBIs, mm-hmm. we get what we get. And we're in a mess right now. And the only way I know is to stand up and be that single voice. And even like somebody like Jen Houlihan, who stood when the wind was fierce and stood against everything from health departments to people trying to shut her down, she was vigilant. And I have so much respect for her and people like her who are the lone voice out there that people can gather around.
So Water's Edge Winery, she was the owner of Water's Edge Winery, and they closed that, and they've actually moved south to a more freedom-loving county, okay. which is great. But I drive by there because that's out in my, I'm by there a lot. And Brad, I look at the location. It's not just the location, but I think you probably have this affinity for it as well. And for Jen, as you mentioned, really a warrior, if you will, for freedom, which I love. But I think of all the conversations, all the great times with friends, the Vino and Veritas that we did. It was just a magical place that what came out of there.
Well, we would go to lunch from downtown and drive down there because it was a free-filling place. And you had affinity for other people. And you could wear a mask if you wanted to or didn't have to if you didn't want to, simply because that was your choice. And that was a magic because so many people say, no, you can't come into this establishment. When Jen said, you know, that's your choice. If you want to sit outside and not wear a mask, at the time she couldn't mm-hmm. serve inside, mm-hmm. that was up to you.
Yeah.
And lots of people made that choice. And you know what? Nobody said or looked weird at you or, you know, so people sought it out. I would drive an hour mm-hmm. to come down there to have lunch mm-hmm. from where I live. And it was a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need more places like that. We need more people who will stand up. Mm-hmm. The term we use so often is a patriot. Well, I think it's just common sense. I think it's the American psyche. I think mm-hmm. it's Americans saying, you know, stop. That's enough. Mm-hmm. Don't cross that line. And you may want to jail me. You may want to fine me. You may want to do something to me. But I have a principle that I stand on mm-hmm. that's stronger than anything. Mm-hmm. And I have a conviction. And I have a belief that I'm right. Mm-hmm. And we'll fight for that right. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more people mm-hmm. like Jen.
Well, Brad, quite frankly, what we've learned is that tyranny, if you acquiesce to it, it doesn't get better.
No.
The 2 weeks to flatten the curve, as Steve had found this meme, the most difficult thing about the 2 weeks to flatten the curve is the first 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, my friends, we have to understand that tyranny taken, they'll not give it back unless we stand. And we have to dig for truth. And I want to go to break. When we come back, Brad, it's not as easy. We used to think that the internet was the place that would offer you all of this information. But you have to dig for it, which is so interesting. So that's why your piece, Digging for the Truth, is so important. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tools, the place to do your shopping this week. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. beautiful steak knife sets, kitchen sets, these beautiful handmade Colorado cutting boards, just all kinds of beautiful gifts. They're wonderful sponsors of the Kim Munson Show. So be sure and check out Castlegate.com, Castlegate.com. Their main location is in Sedalia. They have a pop-up store in the Castle Rock Mercantile, but check out Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Brad Beck.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'll be rolling out Brad Beck's Digging for Truth, his op-ed this weekend. And actually, I should have you take a look at Rick Turnquist and Patty Kergan's op-eds that we rolled out this last weekend. Really great as well. Both have just love their views on what they wanted to share with you. Digging for the truth. Brad, it's not as easy as one would think in this day and age. We have all this information, but it's difficult to sift through that, which I think that you had actually kind of matched that up with your anthropology courses. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was thinking about it because I just finished a book called The Soul of Politics on Harry Jaffa that Glenn Ehlers wrote, and it is about the Professor Harry Jaffa, who taught at Chapman. And there's a lot of footnotes and a lot of things and this divided mind concept that he got in arguments all kinds of places with people that were on his same side. And he was a student of Leo Strauss, and a very deep book. And yet there's footnote after footnote after footnote after footnote. And I kept reading the footnotes, it took me forever to read the book. So that got me thinking, you know, when I was in college, I'm fascinated by history. I love history and archaeology and anthropology, and archaeology is a sub-discipline in anthropology. And in college, I had the opportunity to go on several digs, and I loved it. And one of the things that I really enjoyed doing was when they threw all the midden, all the dirt from the pit into these mesh screens, mm-hmm. and then I would get to shake them. And then mm-hmm. as you shook, you would see the larger pieces stay on top, and the pieces of charcoal or bone or pottery or wood, depending on the site. And I was just fascinated that you could find these things. And then the archaeologists would come over, and they would dig through and see which pieces were appropriate mm-hmm. to keep, and they would tag them and put them away mm-hmm. for later resource and research. And that was just fun for me. I mean, I just enjoyed that part of discovery. And then as I got more and more involved in it, I got to actually go into the pit and do some digging. And I found that one of the things that I was taught by the trained archaeologists is, first, when you start finding things, you don't just pull them out of the ground. It's not like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. There's a relationship between those items you find in situ where they're in the ground. And as you dig around them, you don't want to just pull them out, because you lose, one, the measurement, but two, the relationship of one item found in the ground to the other item found in the ground. Mm-hmm. And there's something there. And there can be research done on that. There can be a hypothesis brought apart. Why is this here and that there? You know, was it just left there? Was it put there on purpose? you have to do research on that. But finding things in relationship to each other is as important as finding the object. Mm-hmm. There's so much information. And then you even have to step back. And an archaeologist will look at things and say, do I even want to dig there? Do I have the technology to dig? Because once I start digging, I destroy. And as you go deeper and deeper, you're going to destroy the more recent pieces that you find. And so there's a relationship there. And so you have to have a really a good reason to dig, to pull out of the ground. It's not just, you know, it's a discipline. It's a mm-hmm. science. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted, as I was reading this book on Harry Jaffa, it just popped in my mind that it's similar to archaeology. You're digging for more information, and you're finding pieces, and you're putting pieces together. And as if you find a piece of pottery and several pieces, and you put it together because things fit like a puzzle, and then all of a sudden you have this object that before was broken apart, and now you have that whole object that you can study and learn from. And I think too often we look for the pieces in the earth and just have a conjecture without looking at it and saying, well, wait a minute, you just can't put a certain position on it. You have to take all the pieces mm-hmm. and then really come to the forefront and mm-hmm. say, okay, what are we seeing here? What are we observing? What's the context? What's the relationship? And I don't think we do enough of that with our news and our information. As I mentioned earlier, we find that so much of our life is expedient, and we want the headlines. You know, all mm-hmm. the news stations mm-hmm. have headline news. I like to go back and look at the footnotes. I like to find the original sources of where things come from. You had a quote earlier today about that was unknown. But at some point, at certain ways, you can maybe find who said that.
Who actually said it. Huh?
And go back even further. And I'm always amazed that somebody will say something and they'll attribute it to somebody. And like, you know, Abraham Lincoln founded the Internet. You know, it says so right there in the Internet. But who really was the person who brought that to the forefront? Where's the original thought? It could have been Al Gore. I don't know.
That's what he said.
But we need to keep digging and digging and digging. And even when we think we know the answer, I think there's an opportunity for people to come in and say, okay, especially with science. Science is not about things being settled. Science is constantly asking the question mm-hmm. and trying to pull back mm-hmm. the layers and say, okay, if it can survive all the questioning and all the chipping away, then it probably is true. Mm-hmm. But you have to have that person like a Jen Houlihan who will stand against what the common lie is at mm-hmm. the time. And you have to really dig and go after the truth. It's not something that's going to be on the surface. So whether you're a religious person or not, it doesn't really matter. What I think people all have to do is look at all the perspectives and say, okay, this is the best for me. And really work at trying to get that information, that clarity. I think we're all searching for truth.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I used to think the internet was this place that you could put in a subject and it'd be great, like if all the authors came up. But that's not the case. For example, when I was looking for Manchin and Build Back Better, there was a whole bunch of very leftist links that came up. And this New York Post one was one of the more moderate ones that came up. And so that's why I went to that. But a discipline, I think, would be is if you find an author who you trust or you think is a critical thinker, then put in their name. And you should be able to maybe find some other pieces about that. But you can't just put in the subject, because right now I think those algorithms, I really think they're being manipulated. Even with, DuckDuckGo, I think, does a good job as far as they don't track you. But it's a very tall order to have all of that. So what's your comments on that?
Well, there's volume and there's algorithms. And yes, so I agree with you. You have to really go past that first page and go even further. And most people are lazy and don't. They'll just take the first thing that pops up. Mm-hmm. So a perfect example of that is when you are doing research on any topic, whether it's a public policy issue or a candidate, don't just go to their website. Look all around.
Right.
And so, and take the time to look at people with the opposing. Why are they opposing? What's important to them? Why are they bringing up certain issues in a different capacity? Mm-hmm. And does that make a difference? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it does. You might find something there.
Mm-hmm. Many people have said that they think that we should do a point counterpoint on the show, which I think is a good idea. However, I've said with only an hour, it's difficult because the point over there, it's out there everywhere. But one of our other Liberty Toastmasters colleagues had said, it would be good, Kim, if you asked the question that that might be the opposing. And so I'm going to try to get better at that. And I think we may get to a point where we might get to do some point counterpoint as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, on that.
Well, you know, a lot of times, in especially in archaeology, especially in the sciences, there's a constant barrage of questions. Nothing is settled. There's always a new idea based on something else that was found here. And so I revel in that. I think it's important that we constantly are looking at the opportunities to expand what we know and really get down to what is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. It does take time. But we have to do it.
It is our duty to do this, for sure. And when I hear a platitude such as settled science, that makes my radar go up. Because what it's saying to me is that I know better, and I don't want you to think about it. And so that's a place that I really want to uncover and really take a look at that. Brad, we've got a minute left. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I ended this piece with a quote by Alexis de Tocqueville, who was the French diplomat and political philosopher who wrote Democracy in America. And he said, quote, "The greatness of America lies not in being more enlightened than any other nation, but rather in her ability to repair her faults," end of quote. And we've had a lot of faults, but you know what? We're still that shining city on the hill.
We are. And through our Constitution and the amendment process, our founders knew that we weren't perfect. And that's why they put that in there, so that we can mend our faults. And thank you so much for being here. It's always great. I guess we hadn't really noted that it was a Brad Beck Monday.
Well, always a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Kim, and all your listeners.
You bet. And it's I went to Buddha for our quote for the end of the show.
Is that because I look like him?
No. No, the quote for today is Buddha said, "Three things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth." So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.